Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
This morning, over the last several weeks, we have been in a series we've been calling Live Your Calling. Live Your Calling. And we've been exploring the call of God. And God has a call. God has a call in every one of our lives. The first call is a call to be loved. It's simply a call to salvation. Do you know that God loves you? God loves you. He loves you. He wants you to understand and to know His love. He invites you to know His love. And it's not something you have to earn. I mean, there are some people that only love you if you do certain things and if you make certain marks. And some people, that's some religions, that's what they believe about God. They've got to do some things in order to be loved. But the scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What that tells us is that God's love, His pursuit of us, was far beyond whether we were ever deserving, ever willing, ever even wanted to love Him back. He loved us anyway. And so the first call is just simply a recognition that you are called to be loved. And as you recognize that love and you receive that grace, you receive that salvation, the call that He has on your life is a call to belong. He wants you to belong to His family. He wants you to belong to a church family. He wants you to belong to His body. And there's several illustrations about the body of Christ, the family of God, the temple, and that we're living stones. That He's called us to be a part of something and to belong to something bigger than ourselves. And so as we receive Christ, we get to belong to something greater. And that something greater begins to develop in our lives. And as we come around the people of God and as we begin to learn about the love of God, then on the inside, we need to have the next call. And that's the call to become. That's the call to become like Jesus. He wants to develop His family traits in you and I. He wants us to develop the character that He has and allow that character to be developed in our lives. And that's becoming. Every one of us is called to discipleship. Jesus said to go and make disciples. It wasn't just about a decision. It was about discipleship. And the decision you made wasn't the end. It was the beginning. It was the beginning of allowing Jesus to come into your life and to begin to transform you by the work of His Holy Spirit so that you can become like Him. So you can become like Christ. And so we talked about that. And our theme verse for this series has been Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I'm going to read it from the New Living. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. You have a purpose, and God has called you out. He has saved you for the purpose that He has for your life. The purpose of belonging to His church family. The purpose for becoming more like His Son, Jesus Christ, and for the purpose to glorify Him as you serve Him. In fact, we had one verse that we shared that it's probably my favorite, so I want to read it again out of Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Boy, I love the poetic language there of the weaving together. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. What that says is that when God was weaving you together, when God had His thread and He was weaving you in it and putting everything into your life, it was because He had a purpose for you. You were created with purpose. You were created with a plan, your unique personality, your abilities, your gifts, and everything was going into the purpose that God had for your life. And every one of us had that purpose. Max Lucado, I love Max Lucado. Have you ever read anything by Max Lucado? He just has a way of putting things. And in one of his books, he writes this: the master weaver selected your temperament threads, your character texture, the yarn of your personality, all before you were born. God did not drop you into this world utterly defenseless and empty-handed. You arrive fully equipped. I just think that's another way of Max Lucado writing what the Apostle Paul echoed, or actually the Apostle Paul probably wrote first in Ephesians 2:10, that we are God's masterpiece or workmanship, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good works that He planned for us long ago. That's what the Apostle Paul said. So you have the writer of the Psalms, David, centuries before writing this, and now centuries later you have the Apostle Paul also echoing the same thing, that we just weren't something that happened. I know there's a lot when it comes to creation that we just kind of happened and we just kind of evolved, and that to me says there's no purpose. But the Bible says something different. The Bible says that you and I were created by God, by our Heavenly Father, and He wove us together with intention in mind, with purpose in mind, weaving the very character threads for us and planned out things that He desired for us to do. In fact, with this foundation in mind, the third calling is a calling to serve. Galatians 1:15, I love the Good News translation on this, says, God in His grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve Him. He called me to serve Him. And I love it because it goes along with everything else that we have read, that long before, God had a plan and a purpose, and that plan and purpose included a call to serve. What does it mean to serve the Lord today? What does that look like? That's what I want to get into today. I want to look at a passage of Scripture that was written by the Apostle Peter, and he was writing to encourage believers who lived in a day and age where when they made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, it was followed by great persecution. It was followed by suffering. It was followed by discouragement. And these believers were facing discouragement, and they were facing persecution. And Peter writes to encourage them how they ought to live in the days in which they lived. Days that were dark, days in which most people did not believe, days in which it was a very different, very similar culture to what we have. We've got a lot of freedoms here, but there was a different culture there in which there was great persecution when you accepted Christ and difficulties. And this is what Peter wrote near the end of his letter as he was encouraging the people how they ought to live in those days. And it says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. In fact, Peter gets so excited about this, he kind of ends it with a doxology of sorts. He gets so excited about what he's writing. And I find five truths in this passage, five truths about the call to serve. Five truths about the call to serve. The first truth that I see is that everyone has gifts. Everyone has gifts. Now, Peter begins his encouragement with these words, each of you. Each of you. And according to theologian Wayne Grudem, he says this, each implies that every person in the fellowship of believers in every church to which Peter was writing had received a spiritual gift for use in the church. Everybody had gifts. Now, I don't know about you, but that encourages me. That encouraged me when I was younger, and I was really struggling. I was struggling to find who I was. My parents had gone through a divorce. We had moved to a new area. We moved to another school. And I can remember like yesterday, I was struggling in school. I was struggling in friendships and relationships. I just didn't seem to find my place. I didn't seem to have anything I was good at. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. I was just struggling. I didn't know who am I and what is this? And I was getting really discouraged. I mean, this is just a young person. I was really discouraged. And I remember sitting down one time and I said to my mom, you know, she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I just don't feel like I have any gifts. I just don't feel like that I'm good at anything." Anybody ever felt like that before? Yeah. I mean, I wrestled with that. And I thank God for passages like this because they encourage me that God has given you gifts. God has given you gifts. God has purposed a purpose for your life, and He has given you certain things that you are good at, certain things that you can do, gifts that you can share. And when we begin to function in the strength and the power of His Holy Spirit, He can take what He has given us, and He can allow that for us to be able to impact the lives of others around us, to make a difference in the world around us. Every one of us has gifts. When we give our lives to Christ, we need to understand that those gifts are there to serve. Paul agrees. 1 Corinthians 12:7, he writes, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. The purpose of the gifts is to help each other. We've been given gifts, certain gifts, that we're able to minister, and there are certain people that will be ministered because of the gifts that God has given you. Not necessarily me. There are people you will reach. There are people you will encourage. There are people you will share with your gifts that I will never touch. And the same thing goes with you. There are people I'll touch that you don't touch. And that's the part of these gifts. There are no unemployed Christians. There's no unemployed Christians. Romans 12, 4 through 6 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about this in belonging, that each of us belong to the other. That's why there's no Lone Ranger Christians. Because when you come to know Christ, when you give your life to Christ, you become a part of the church. You become a part of the family of God. You say, "Oh, I don't want that. I don't like that. Too bad." That's part of salvation. You become a part of the family. You're not to live to yourself. You belong to the others. You belong to the others. Why? Why is that so important? Because God is putting together something bigger than you. And you have a place. You have a purpose. And when you're not using your gifts to serve, when you're not using what God has put in you, the body is hindered by that. The body is hurt by that. There are those who would benefit from the gifts that you have that are not benefiting because you are not being obedient and learning how to serve in the gifts God has given you. That's true. That's how it is. You say, "What about these gifts?" Well, these gifts are not something you earn. All right? They're not based on your merit. They're not based on your goodness. They're not based on how good you are. The concept of a gift is something that is received. It's communicated utilizing two Greek words. The first is the one for gift is doron. Doron. It's gifts presented to one another, to the poor, or to God. Gifts given in support of the temple. Freely given gift of God at salvation. When you're talking about gifts, you're talking about something that is not earned, but rather something that is presented. The second, coupled with doron, is spiritual gift, and it's the Greek word charisma, and with the root charis, and the root word of charisma or charis is grace. It's grace. It's a supernatural ability given by God's grace to each believer, not something that we earn, but given by the grace of God, giving out of His abundance and His desire to bless us. He gives us these gifts to employ in building up the body of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. That's when we talk about spiritual gifts. They're not for show, they're for serving. And so many times when it comes to gifts, we think our gifts are so that we can prove how much better we are than somebody else, or how gifted we are, or clap, or, you know, in our selfie world, you know, let's put it on YouTube and then get our own channel and market it and market ourselves and market our gifts. It's not about that. Gifts are not for show, they're for serving. They're to serve the body of Christ. They're to bring a contribution to the body of Christ. And they're really the grace of God extended to the body of Christ. One of the problems, well, the reasons why we don't oftentimes use our gifts or even discover our gifts is sometimes we don't think we have them because we're too busy comparing what we have to somebody else. And we look and we say, "But I'm not like that. I can't do what they do. I don't have it. I can't do that." And so we don't do it because we're too busy comparing. That's one of the reasons why we don't use our gifts. But it's clear that although each of us do not have the same gift, every one of us has been given gifts of God and has a unique role that is vital to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:22 says, "In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary." You know what I found? I get to be up on the stage and I get to preach, and so every week you get to see that. But you know what? To be honest with you, there's a whole lot of things that get done around here and that the church would be crippled if they didn't happen that you never see. People behind the scenes that are always using their gifts of leadership, their gifts of administration, their gifts of serving, their gifts of simply saying, "You know what? I'm willing to clean the bathrooms. You know what? I'm willing to work in the nursery. You know what? I'm willing to help in a classroom in kids ministry. You know what? I'm willing to be a youth volunteer. You know what? I'm willing to pick up trash. You know what? I'm willing to do whatever I can. I'm willing to greet at the door." Do you know that every one of you who use your gifts to serve is vital to the kingdom of God? It's vital to what God is doing. What happens up here only happens up here in the capacity in which it happens because of everybody else who is serving behind the scenes and doing what they can do. I wouldn't have time to be able to even prepare this message if I had to do all of those jobs that nobody sees. They're just not as visible, but they are extremely vital and necessary. In fact, oftentimes I would say more vital. Those of you who have a ministry of prayer, and you are interceding and praying and nobody knows about it, you go into your prayer closet and you are praying for God to move in this and nobody recognizes it, nobody knows because you're following the Bible, I'm not going to make a show of it, I'm going to go into my prayer closet, let me tell you something, you are extremely valuable because the anointing and the power of God would not flow without your prayers. It's vital. It's vital. Not only does everyone have gifts, but these gifts are given. I've emphasized it over and over, so I won't try to spend a whole lot of time here, but the gifts are given so we can serve others. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others. Serve seems like a mundane word. It really is a mundane word. This is not some special word. It's a mundane word in the Greek diakono, which is where we get the word deacon from. It means table waiter, more accurately, busboy. I mean, it's just all about doing whatever anybody can do. It's not high profile. It's just simply serve. That's why every one of us, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your education. It doesn't matter what your experience. It doesn't matter what your gift set. Every one of us has a place and has been called to serve. We can all do that. We can all do that. And why should we do that? Because Jesus did that. It's his example. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to be served. The Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God, did not come to be served, but came to serve and to give his life. That's what it's all about. Sometimes we treat church like it's a restaurant or a country club. You know, we come because we want to get fed and we want somebody to meet our needs. But that's not what church is all about. In fact, it's simply not biblical. Timothy Keller, author and pastor of a church in New York City, said you can't be following Jesus if you only want to be served and not serve. You're not really following Jesus, because if you follow Jesus, you serve. Because Jesus served. Jesus served. In fact, Romans 12 and verse 7 says the spiritual gift is given to help each other. And that's the verse about the body of Christ, to help each other. And so when Jesus called the disciples to follow me, he was calling them into service. Follow me. What does he say? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will meet all of your needs. Follow me and just sit and let me teach you and learn from me and be fed. No, follow me and I'm going to make you into something. I've got a purpose for your life. I've got a plan for your life. The call to follow Jesus is always a call to service. It's to go and to grow. It's to fish and to feed. That's the call. That's the call of Jesus. The gifts we have, as I said, are not for show. They're not to build a platform. They're not to elevate ourselves deep down inside. I know all of us desire significance. We desire meaning for our lives. But you find that meaning when you begin to discover who it is that God made you, the gifts that he's given you, and you see the significance of that when you give yourself away, when you serve, and you begin to see how others begin to grow and are benefited because of the way that God has purposely using your life. That's how you find meaning. That's how you find significance. You're not going to find significance with 10 minutes of fame by being on The Voice or America's Got Talent or some other thing like that. That's all great, but that goes and that dies. As quickly as that fame rises, that fame goes. Just as quickly as you are just, you know, everybody loves you. Woohoo! We love Kevin Love. He's great. He's coming to the team. He's going to help us win. Now he can't shoot and everybody's like, oh, Kevin Love, what's wrong with him? That's where fame will get you. But not service. When you serve, when you simply come to serve, and you realize the impact you're having on somebody else's life, that Jesus Christ has gifted you, that God has gifted you, and you find yourself using that purpose, there is a joy that comes that nobody else can take away from you. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 20:26, if you want to be great, you must be servant of all others. And we see that. We might call it the Mother Teresa principle. Mother Teresa went to the poorest of the poor, the outcast of the outcast in Calcutta, India, to people who were on the street and dying. Nobody has less influence than those people. And as she began to take the dying into her home, and as she began to care for them, and as she began to serve those who everybody else was stepping over and trampling over, and as she went to the least influential people in life, and when she served, God began to give her, God began to give her great influence, tremendous influence around the world, that she could walk into Congress and they would listen to her. That she would walk into the United Nations and all eyes and ears would be listening for what does she have to say. How did she gain that platform? She didn't gain that platform by being any great, talented, special person, special speaker. She gained the platform because she was willing to give her life away to serve. That's how you gain a platform. You serve. And as you serve, the influence grows. For when you're faithful in little, God will reward you with much. The key is serving. Why is the serving so important? Why is this call to serve so important? Peter tells us about it here because the gifts and tools of God are used to extend His grace to others. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. And look at this, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let's unpack this a little bit. Let's unpack this, this building one another up. Peter's building upon principle. He says, listen, each of you has a gift. Each of you has a gift. And that gift that has been given is so that you can serve others. He's building principle upon principle upon principle. And now he says, here's why it's so important. Because when you serve others, you become a conduit. You become a steward, a conduit of the very grace of God. In fact, the word for serve, I love it, in the Greek is oikonomics. It's where we get our word economics from. Oikonomics. A steward was somebody that handled people's finances. They looked after the resources, human resources, the food stuff, the paid wages. They took care of members of the household. A steward was not the owner. They were just given the trust to be able to manage and dispense. And that's the word that Peter uses when it comes to spiritual gifts. In other words, when you are given a spiritual gift from God, when you are entrusted with that, He gives it to you. You now become the manager or the steward of that gift. And that gift from the Greek word charismata, we get the root word charis, grace, grace in its variety of forms. You become a steward of God's grace. So people all the time are saying, I need God's grace. How many ever said, I need the grace of God? I need the grace of God. And so often we go to God, God, I need your grace. God, I need your grace. And God will give us His grace. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times, in fact, I think most of the ways that God gives His grace to us is through the people that He's gifted and their gifts. And through them and their leadership, through them and them using of their gifts, they are stewarding the grace of God. We are benefits of the grace of God through others. That's how God chooses to work. He chooses to work through others. If He didn't choose to work through others, He would have never asked 12 disciples to be raised up and to follow Him around and then release them in the ministry. I know, only 11 made it. I get it. See, even Jesus had one that didn't make it, and He was perfect. Yeah, that's another thought for another day. But He chose. How did He choose to carry on His work of extending His grace to the world in which He loved, the grace that we call the gospel? How did He choose to do it? He chose to do it through people. We are conduits and stewards of the grace of God. When you are not using your gift that God has given you, you are literally cutting off the grace of God from impacting somebody who needs it. When you hang on to your gift and you use it simply for your own personal gain or for selfish reasons, but you don't use it to serve others in the body of Christ, you are cutting off what God says, listen, I want to extend grace to the body of Christ, and I can't because you're not using your gifts. There are people that are hurting and people that are cut off from the grace of God when we don't use our gifts. And we'll stand before God and give an account. Not in my notes, but read the parable of the talents. It's all about stewardship. Gave a little bit here. I gave some here. I gave some here. Two of them used it, and there was great benefit. And well done, good and faithful servant. But there was one that didn't. There was one that buried it away, and others could not benefit because of the stewardship of that gift. And they were called into account by the master. So when you come to know Jesus Christ and you are a recipient of His grace, He expects you to be an extender of His grace. And one of the ways that we're an extender of His grace is when we use the gifts that God has given us to serve and to bless others in the body of Christ and in our world. Think about that for a moment. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 18, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. The body of Christ sometimes isn't hearing because some of you are an ear and you're not using your gift and it's impacting us from being able to hear from God. Some of you are a mouth and you're not speaking. And the body of Christ isn't benefiting what God has been putting into you because you have your mouth shut. There are those in your neighborhood, those in your families that need to know about the gospel and the grace of Christ, but your mouth is shut and God says, I have given you a gift to serve and you're not serving and they can't hear me. Some of you have hands to serve and gifts to be able to do things, and the body of Christ is crippled because you're not serving. You're not using the hands and the feet that God has given you. You're looking around saying, well, I'm not that person. I'm not, though, I can't do that. Hogwash. What has God given you to do? And do it. In World War II, a little French town had a statue of Jesus in their town square. A bombing came and the statue had been damaged and pieces had been broken off. And so they stored the pieces into a little place. And after the war, they began to rebuild the statue. It had cracks now, but they appreciated it even more. But to their dismay, the only pieces they couldn't find were the hands of Jesus. And that troubled them because the hands were what had the nail prints. And they thought maybe they would take the statue down until one person placed a gold plaque at the bottom of the statue, and this is what it read. He has no hands but ours. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the mouth, the ears, the nose. We are the body of Christ. And when the body of Christ isn't serving, when those in the body of Christ are not serving, then the ministry of grace through the body of Christ is lacking and cut off. And God doesn't want that. He wants to extend His grace full measure through each and every one of you. And as we said, gifts come in a variety of packages. That's the next thing that we see here in 1 Peter chapter 4. It talks about, in different passages, it talks about different gifts of the Spirit, but in this particular passage, Peter just breaks it down into two just general categories here. General categories, and they include all, and they're not mutually exclusive. They're not one or the other, but just two. And the first one is this, 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And then the second, if anyone serves, they should do so in the strength God provides. Again, two main categories for administrating the gift of God. Sometimes it's through speaking. And Peter says that when you're speaking, you have to understand that as you are speaking, as you are serving, whether it be a spoken word of encouragement, or whether it be a sermon, or a devotional, or whether it be coming alongside somebody and speaking into her life, you've got to recognize you are God's mouthpiece to them. You are speaking the very words, the very oracles of God. And there are some of you that God has gifted in that area to share and to counsel and to preach and to teach. And some of you to lead life groups and some of you to counseling. Some of you to the gifts of the Spirit of prophecy or word of wisdom or word of knowledge, whatever it is speaking wise. There are some of you that God has gifted in that way. And He wants to use you in that way to administrate the grace of God. Don't limit it just to preaching and teaching. There are so many ways in which you use your words and your speaking in order to build up the body of Christ. The other is serving. Speaking is not the only way. Gifts are administered through serving. Grace is administered through serving. And what it says here is when you serve, don't serve in your own power. Don't serve. You may have abilities, but don't just rely on your own abilities. Serve in the strength of God. I'll tell you, because when you start serving, how many have served in the church a long time? You know it gets tiring, right? Yeah, it's not easy. It gets tiring. There are frustrating things that come up. There are things that just, they get frustrating. We can't serve in our own strength or we'll give up. You got to serve in the strength of God. serve in the strength of God. We tend to value positions and platforms, but that's not the only place, and even sometimes not even the most important place that God moves. God moves through everybody who simply serves. In fact, that we back up one verse in verse 9 of 1 Peter 4, and it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I tell you, hospitality is a gift that some people have. Some of you have a gift of hospitality, man. You love to create welcoming environments, and you love to feed people. I mean, you just love to feed people. Like, they come over and you just want to, like, feed them, and they're like, I'm not hungry. No, eat more. Come on, eat more. You know, as my Italian great-grandmother used to say, mangia, mangia. Mangia, mangia, frangrosso. Eat, eat, and grow big. That's what she used to tell me all the time. You know, she's just constantly trying to feed me. I was skinny in high school, believe it or not, and something happened. I don't know. Something happens as you get older, something with aging. I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, back to hospitality. That's the most important thing. You know, hospitality, Jesus was blessed by a great ministry of hospitality. There were people who followed women and others who followed and just met Jesus' needs. Jesus had a platform ministry and healing and teaching, and he came to serve and he washed feet. But there were those that Jesus was greatly refreshed by and gave platforms and opportunity of ministry because they welcomed them into his home and they took care of some of the basic needs, and they just were there showing great hospitality. Martha was one of them. We oftentimes criticize Martha because she got so busy serving that she missed the presence of Jesus, which was most important. And sometimes when we're serving, that's the problem. When we don't serve in the grace and the strength of God, sometimes we can miss the presence of God and forget why we're serving to begin with. That's what happens. Nevertheless, you don't stop serving. You know, you don't just stop just to sit. In some ways, Mary needed to get up and help a little bit. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know if that's biblical or not, but I just know that we're supposed to serve. You know, I know people laughing at me, but it's true. It's true. You know, I one of the things that I get blessed by, man, I've watched our men's ministry, and they don't look for any whatever. But when there's a need, and we find out maybe somebody who has lost a loved one, they just recently become widowed, or maybe they've had a health issue and there's a need they need in their home and those kind of, we bring it. I got guys who rally together, and man, they got gifts and talents I don't have. I don't have talents in construction. You don't want me working on things in your house, all right? I might be up here to talk, but I can get on the phone and I can call and get the best price and that kind of stuff. But you do not want me working on that, all right? You don't want me doing that. I mean, my wife is worried because I got to change the light bulb in our microwave, and she's worried I'm going to zap myself and forget to unplug it. And kill myself. You know, that's because I'm not handy, all right? It just doesn't happen. So, you know, I don't have those gifts, but there are those of you in the body of Christ here. You have those gifts. You have those gifts. There are some of you, man, you just love to care for people that are in need. You're a helps person. That is so important. That is so important when somebody's in need and you'll cook a meal for them because they just need somebody to come alongside in that way. There are some of you that are gifted in auto mechanics, and man, somebody has a problem with their car and they can't afford it. You don't mind coming alongside and being able. These are the ways that we serve the body of Christ with the gifts that we have. And we have to understand, these spiritual gifts don't originate from our own strength, so we shouldn't operate them in our own strength. God equips us for what we need. The fifth thing that I see here, and it goes into that doxology, is that when we use our gifts to serve God, when we become stewards of the grace of God, and we allow God to use us in our gifts, what happens is God is glorified. As these students are developing their ministries in music and in worship and all that, how many were blessed and God was glorified? Yeah, absolutely. God is glorified. Now, that's a worship team, but you know what? If you're serving somebody, you're making a meal for somebody, you're coming alongside and you're helping fix something that somebody can't, they are blessed, and you say, you know what? God bless you. Why are you doing this? How much do I owe you? You don't owe me anything. I'm just serving the Lord. I just want to be a blessing, and I just want you to see God. I just want you to see His love. Man, God is glorified by those things. I mean, Peter writes this in verse 11, if anyone speaks, he should do so. As one who speaks the words of God, anyone serves, do so in the strength, with the strength God provides. And then there's the word so. Why? So that, or because that, in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power forever and ever and ever. Amen. Whatever gift we have, whether it's speaking or whether it's serving, the goal is that God, the motivation and the goal is that God would be glorified and elevated and praised. That God would be glorified. And when we use those gifts, that's what God smiles. He loves to see us use our gifts. He loves to see us use our gifts. I think it's kind of like, how many are Chariots of Fire fans? I know this is probably an older movie and many people haven't seen it and don't even remember what it is other than dun, 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 right? Dun, 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 you know? But Eric Liddell, in that movie, he says, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." And I got to be honest with you, when you find yourself glorifying God and using your gifts, not for a platform, but simply to serve others and do that, man, you are glorifying God, and you just sense the pleasure of God. God is saying, thank you. I've gifted you. Thank you. Wow. You see my child there? You see how we wove that together? Hi, our dad. Look at them walking in my gifts. Look at them. Man, you do that with your kids, right? We were at Fine Arts this weekend. I'm watching both my kids. I'm just beaming from ear to ear as I'm watching my kids develop their gifts and just use their gifts to glorify the Lord. As a human daddy who with all kinds of flaws and all kinds of things, as a human daddy, I'm beaming from ear to ear when I'm seeing my kids, you know, work in their gifts and glorify the Lord. I can't imagine our Heavenly Father when He sees us as His children operating in the gifts that He's given us to serve the body of Christ as extensions of His grace. Man, I just imagine God smiling. The Bible says, "When you produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified." That's the Amplified version of John 15:8. "When you produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified." Man, God gets the glory when we use our gifts correctly. God gives the glory when we use our gifts correctly. God's been telling a big story about His love and His grace and humanity for a long, long time. And when you use your gifts, you're there to help tell the big story of God. Let me just close with just a couple more points here, just very briefly. I'm just going to run through them here, and and we're going to close, and I'll bring the worship team back up. But friends, I want to encourage you. God has called you to serve. He's given you gifts, and you're an extension of His grace to others. You're the stewards of that grace through the gifts that He's given you. Whether they are speaking gifts or serving gifts or both, they're not mutually exclusive. God is glorified when you are using your gifts. And when we don't use those gifts, we are cutting off God's grace from those who need it. So my challenge to you this morning is to ask yourself, are you using your gifts to serve others? Are you serving the body of Christ as an extension of God's grace through the gifts He's given you? Let me share with you just a quick list of some reasons why I think that we struggle or why we don't use the gifts of God. And it's not exhaustive, but nevertheless, I think it's important. I think sometimes we're ignorant of Scripture. We're ignorant of Scripture. I think that some Christians don't use their gifts because they really don't know what God's Word says. And the more you learn about what God's Word says, the more you begin to recognize that some things that you just find that you do, you go, oh, I can use, oh, God gave me that? Oh, that's from God? Oh, how I can use that to serve? I think sometimes we're just ignorant of it, and we just need for the Lord to show us. I think some of us deal with inadequacy. I think we see that throughout Scripture, whether it was Gideon who was like, I'm from this less tribe and this or this. Why would you call me? How could you use me? I think there are so many times where we don't feel adequate or we feel like somebody else is more adequate. We just don't feel like we're capable of accomplishing the work that God wants us to do. I think sometimes guilt. We may have a sense of unworthiness. Maybe it's because of some past sins or different things. We feel like maybe we've been disqualified to serve God. I think sometimes we're afraid of failure. But what if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? What if I can't do it? And so we don't serve because we're too busy. We don't seize the opportunities because we're too busy worrying about the failures. I think sometimes it's just laziness. Drop the mic. Right? We just, I'd rather do something else. I just don't want to. Right? I think sometimes, I've seen this, I think it's a problem in our society, we just don't like to commit. We're unwilling to commit. We don't want to commit to things. I don't want to commit to that. I don't want to accept responsibility. I'm reluctant to do that. Sometimes we're unwilling to commit because we have poor time management. Because we've committed to using our gifts in other ways and we just simply don't have the time. We can't be used by God to serve because we just don't have the time. Sometimes we just lack love for other people. I just really don't love other people. If you're not concerned about other people, if God hasn't given you a burden for other people, you're not going to serve them. You won't see the importance of it. Sometimes in that whole time thing, we're just selfish with our time. I want to do it my way, my things. I'm busy with my own interests. I got to play 12 rounds of golf this week. I don't have time to serve. Yeah, picking on golfers, I'm sorry. It could be anything. It could be baseball. It could be basketball. It could be soccer. It could be, yeah, I don't know, music. It could be whatever. Whatever. You know, maybe you're a workaholic and you're just addicted to money. So you use your gifts to make money to serve yourself, but I tithe, so I won't use my gifts to help the church. Sometimes it's comparison. Somebody else could do it better. Sometimes it's sin. If we're living in sin, we don't have a desire to serve the Lord. Unless, of course, we're living in sin and then we want to balance it out because we think we've got to earn God's favor that way. Whoops. Right? I mean, have you ever honestly just asked yourself, God, what do you want me to do? God, what are the gifts you've given me and how do you want to use them to benefit others? I mean, I just think it starts there. I preached some hard things today. I've said some hard things today. And I know that really it's out of an operation of love. It's an operation of love for you because I want you to experience the joy that comes when you see that God has gifted you and you get to experience seeing somebody else's life impacted and changed and them grow to know Jesus Christ more because he's using you to do that. There's a joy that comes with that. Yeah, sometimes it's a pain to get there. Sometimes it's a struggle, and sometimes you wonder if anybody's ever getting it and what you're doing is even making a difference before. I've wrestled with that. I don't think anybody who's ever served the Lord has not. But I'm going to tell you something, that when you get a praise report like I did last week and you see the hand of God benefited because of somebody else that's been impacted by the ministry, there's a joy that goes off and you go, yeah. Just to go back to another golf analogy, I'm a terrible golfer, and I don't do it very often, and that's probably why I'm somewhat terrible at it. Not really, it's just not my gift. But, you know, I'm Army golf, left, right. But anyway, all it takes is sometimes one good shot, and I think, man, I can do this, and it keeps me coming back. When you use your gifts to serve the Lord, and you see that somebody's life is impacted, and you go, man, that's what brings me back. That's what keeps me going. I want you to experience joy. Not only do I want you to experience joy, but I believe that there are others in the body of Christ that are suffering because you're not using your gifts. Because they're not receiving the grace of God that can come through the gifts that God has given you. And I just think the whole body is better when every one of us are serving the Lord. So we want to help you. There is a gifts discovery class that we do on a regular basis. And we're doing it on Wednesday nights on a regular basis. If you say, I don't know what my gifts are, we want to help you. We want to help you. We want to help you discover those gifts. So if there's anything that's keeping you from serving the Lord, you need to say, what are the obstacles? What are the obstacles in my life that are keeping me from living out the fullness of God's plan for my life? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And there's a response card that was in your bulletin. I think the ushers were also trying to pass them out as they were receiving the offering, which might have been difficult as we were standing up and worshiping. But there's a response card, and in the foyer, there's a basket there. And if you want to serve, if you say, you know what, I need to use my gifts to serve, as we've been sharing, if there's something in your heart that God is doing, I want you to fill out that card, and I want you to drop it in. We want to be in contact with you, and we want to help you find a place to be able to serve. Find a place where you can use the gifts that God has given you in your life to impact the body of Christ. So I want you to take those cards out. I want you to fill it. There are so many of you that do serve. There are so many of you that are in there, and you're my heroes. I really appreciate you. I appreciate you, but there are others of you that for whatever reason, you haven't accepted the call to serve. You haven't stepped up to the call to serve. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will challenge you to recognize the gifts you have and to recognize if there are obstacles, we'll come alongside. How can we come alongside to help you to find a place where the extension of God's grace can be stewarded through your life to benefit the body of Christ? Let's bow our heads this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have today to be encouraged in your word. And Lord, you extend grace not only in salvation, but because you have made us your stewards by giving us gifts. Gifts, God, that are an extension of your grace and carrying out your mission in the world. And Lord, encouraging and lifting up the body of Christ. Father, I pray today that every one of us will search our hearts and say, God, how can you use me? What gifts have you given me? What opportunities do you want me to say yes to so that I can be an extension of your grace to serve others in the body of Christ and to serve this community? Father, I pray that you will just pierce our hearts today. And Lord, you will encourage us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.